Praise the Lord, everyone. This is Prophet Conrad Bowman of Transformation Ministries. I'm coming to you again live from the Prophet's house before we shut everything down. We've been here praying, consecrating, crying out for many of you. We just had our meeting and getting things ready for the new year, along with the Sons of Issachar School of the Prophets and the ministry here. Many of you joining and asking, and it's just been such a blessing. God is moving. And he's moving by his spirit. Many great things are yet to come. You have no clue what God is doing. You have no clue. You're just going to look up and see, bam, is that Prophet Conrad? But God is he's doing it, and it's an awesome thing. It's an awesome thing. All the glory belongs to him. Well, tonight, really want to have you guys to really be a part of the lesson that we shared, and I shared on the phone line on Saturday. On the Prophet's House prayer line, we really went over the lesson, the word that God gave me, when my mantle moves men, or when someone really catches my spirit for real. We talk about putting the spirit of someone else, or you caught my spirit, and now you're my armor bearer, now you're my charge, and now you're my protege. But did they really get your spirit, or did you just become or make them a slave? Did they just become a slave? Because a lot of times I see that the problem that we have in the church is that we're more into making slaves than making sons or making servants, rather than forming the kind of brotherhood or gathering where we actually produce good citizens in the kingdom and everyone don't leave hating each other. Because some of this stuff that we call discipline is just straight up, not straight up, I said straight up, abuse. And it's time to really, and yes, we have hard taskmasters. Yes, sometimes you have to be stern. But other times, it has no excuse to beat the sheep or rape the sheep or murder the sheep, because they're not your sheep. They're God's people. And you are responsible for them. And I understand sometimes we have to be firm, because folk can do some loopy stuff. But if you really have a pastor's heart, and that's why God shut down a lot of pastors, because they're not doing their job. They're not covering the way they should be covering. They're not checking on their sheep. They're not praying for their sheep. They're praying against their sheep. And God, there's now more sheep than our shepherds. And now God's got to send in the foundational gifts, the wardens and the chiefs, the apostles and the prophets, to come and straighten out the house of God, because some things have gotten out of whack. We have gotten out of line. We have given so much credence and position and power to one office and one gift and one administration, that we have left out the foundational offices that are really helping to stabilize the church. And it can't be stabilized with just an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. It's got to be stabilized by the apostle and by the prophet. And it causes now time for reformation, revival. I'm so sick of hearing the word revival at times. It's time for reformation. It's time for change. And a lot of times one of the words for reformation means to buffet, to beat, to reform, to reshape, to remold, to reform. And that takes work. After you've seen people have been stuck in a church mindset and don't have a kingdom mindset. People know more about church than they know about God. And it's time to know God. Aren't you sick of hearing stories about God? Don't you want to meet God? Don't you want to experience God? Don't you want the Lord to talk to you? Don't you want God to really do something that you've never seen before? It's time to meet the Father. Let's go on. When my mantle moves men, I was talking to a lot of followers and armor bearers and people in ministry about people who work for you and people that have your spirit. You got to make sure that people have your spirit and not just have a position, or they'll end up with a Gehazi spirit, where God didn't instruct Elisha to take any money from Naaman, and Gehazi went behind him and said, I'll take the money. It's all right, he ain't got to know, and walked in the prophet's house with the things. And Elisha said, where you been? Oh, I didn't go anywhere. He said, where has your spirit been since you turned back from Naaman? Does not my spirit go with you? And he cursed him. And he got cursed with leprosy. Got cursed with a flesh condition. But I want you to go with me to 1 Samuel. Let's go with me to 1 Samuel, chapter 10. 1 Samuel reads as this. A lot of times we talk about it being, oh, I remember this because this is when Saul was turned into another man, but he didn't stay another man. Oh, I can't get too happy. Oh my God, I can't get too happy with this because I end up preaching. But let's start at verse 2. Maybe no, let's start at 1. 10 and 1, 1 Samuel 10 and 1. It says, then Samuel took a flask of oil. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head. Talking about Saul. A flask or a vial. And got to remember that Saul was anointed with a vial. David was anointed with a ram's horn. Message. But then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rechel's or Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkey which you went to look for has been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the keys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? This is what the prophet was telling him. And he said, then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There three men going up to God at Bethel, the house of God, will meet you. One carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. They will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. I see a lot of times transitions in the Bible, transactions in the Bible, are always dealing with bread in some shape, form, or fashion. Bread or the word has to be exchanged. A taking off and a putting on. But they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, number of agreement, two, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come up on you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. You shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. So it was when he turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. Somebody say that day. When they came there to the hill, there was a group of prophets to meet him. Then the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Oh, my God. And it happened when all who knew him formerly saw that he indeed prophesied among the prophets, that the people said to one another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? Then a man from there answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had finished prophesying, he went to the high place. Then Saul's uncle said to him and his servant, where did you go? So he said, to look for the donkeys. And when he saw that they were nowhere to be found, we went to Samuel. And Saul's uncle said, tell me, please, what Samuel said to you. So Saul said to his uncle, he told us plainly that the donkeys had been found, but about the matter of the kingdom, take note of that in verse 16, he did not tell him what Samuel had said. Ooh, Jesus. So we see a prophetic word being given to Saul by Samuel, about coming into the company of prophets. And when it came, anytime you come into a strong prophetic atmosphere or into company of prophets, especially prophets who are seasoned, that prophetic anointing is high. And someone doesn't have to be a prophet in order to speak what thus saith the Lord, or prophesy encouragement or exhortation or edification, which is really the spirit of prophecy. But just so happened that Saul was almost in this way being trained by Samuel. When you get there, do as the occasion demands. When you get there, enter into worship with them. When you get there, prophesy. And I prophesy to you that when you get there, prophesy to yourself, because you're not going to always have a major prophet or a prophet in your face prophesying to you, or your favorite prophet prophesying to you, or your favorite YouTube clip of a prophet prophesying to you. You're going to have to rely on the prophet that God put in you. I ain't calling you no prophet, because everybody is not a prophet. But there's coming a time where we have seen so many prophet liars and so many prophets, not P-R-O-P-H-E-T, but P-R-O-P-F-I-T. We're seeing prophets, prophets for money, people after gain, people prophesying stuff because they're greedy and they're after the people of God's money. That we're seeing so many of a rise of false prophetics in the land, that it is time that you speak over your own life, that if don't nobody come and call you out, that you call your own self out at the table, that you don't need nobody to call you out and tell you that. And that's why the phase of and the excitement of the prophetic is dying down. People want to know, okay, you prophesied to me and some things have come to pass, but when am I going to enter into my real inheritance? And people will find out that their inheritance is not temporal, it's not carnal. It has nothing to do with your bank account, your social security number, or your credit card. So stop calling them things out to me, because I need to know, when you finish calling out all that thing to me, where am I going to be at in the kingdom? Am I going to hell? Tell me that. Oh my God, where am I going to end up? Where's my soul right now? What is God concerned about me? Is he concerned about my marriage? Is he concerned about my adultery problem? Is he concerned about my gambling? Is he concerned about my cocaine habit? Is he concerned about my life? He's more concerned. He got to be, if he's God, he's got to be more concerned about you than about your pocket, about your money, about your house. Oh my God, about your job. It's got to be about, what did God put inside of you before the world began? What is there in there that has never been called out, that an apostle and a true prophet can pull out of you, that you can walk in immediately if you have the faith that was once delivered unto the saints? That's not a mamby-pamby faith. That's a faith that believes that God is, and that if I come to him believing that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, that God rewards me for seeking him. It's time to receive the real prophetic. The prophetic looks in you and finds out, what is your hindrance? What's stopping you? What's causing this blockage? So that you can walk in what God has set over you. Not your desires, not things on you, not things you're dealing with. God is bigger than the things that you're dealing with. What you're dealing with is really your testimony, but you won't go through it. It's time to walk through it so that your prophecy can be fulfilled. Lord, have mercy. But see, he went there and became another man. But the problem is, he didn't stay another man. So much of the, and don't let folks shame you about what God has done. If God has broken you into another place and it's too low for other people, shame on them. Because God has revealed, don't feel bad because the secret things that God has revealed to you is still a secret to them. Don't be feeling all crunchy because you're fasting and praying and giving up to God and you don't want to deal with old soul ties and old mess and old distractions. It's time to go forward. Don't you want more of God? Don't you want what God really has for you, and stop going around the mountain and going around the circle? Because I trust you, if you don't go into God's rest in the year 2012, you're going to be stuck and you're going to die in this wilderness. But God said, not so. Go with me to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. I'm just giving you some word. Hallelujah. Yes, God. It's time. God said it's time. But somebody said it's time. Stop waiting. It's time. Move on what God has already told you to do. Move. Don't know who that's for. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Numbers 11, starting here at the 16th verse. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the spirit that is upon you, and will put the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone. That's why God distributes relief to you. That's why he sends help to your ministry, so you don't bear the burden of the people alone. It says, then you shall consecrate to, say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, and for you have wept in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. Lord, have mercy. I want you to go down with me to verse 24. It says, so Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and placed them around the tabernacle. Then the Lord came down in the cloud, my God, and spoke to him and took of the spirit, big S, that was upon him, oh God, and placed the same upon the 70 elders, and it happened. I love that when that comes up in the word of God, and it happened. That's what we need. We need an anointing in the church right now that says, and it happened. Not that it's coming to pass. Not that it's on the way, but, and it happened. When the Spirit rested upon them, that they prophesied, although they never did so again. But two men had remained in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other, Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. Now they were among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied in the camp. It says they were not among those listed, but who had not gone out to the tabernacle, yet they prophesied. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. So Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, one of his choice men, answered and said, Moses, my Lord, forbid them, stop them. Then Moses said to him, are you zealous for my sake? Oh, that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Moses was basically saying, if they're not against us, they're for us. Don't stop them from prophesying just because y'all stopped. Don't stop them from decreeing because y'all stopped. Don't stop them from praying because y'all stopped. Don't stop them from worshiping because y'all stopped and it's not your favorite song. Get out your flesh. It's the Spirit. The Spirit was supposed to stay. Oh, that the Lord would have all of his servants be prophets. Oh, my God. Quickly, go with me. We're talking about when God puts the Spirit, his Spirit, on you. From your leader or that prophetic spirit. Go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19. And this is where Saul had to run. He was, David was running from Saul. Saul lost his mind again and was running from, David was running from Saul. And he ran to Ramah, the birthplace and the resting place of Samuel the prophet. And Samuel was there. And it reads as thus at the verse 18 here. So David fled and escaped and went to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and stayed in Naoth. Now it was told Saul, saying, take note, David is at Naoth in Ramah. Then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the group of prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul. If you look in a lot of studies, they said that a lot of these men coming towards Saul, the area of Ramah, they'd be 5 miles away. And they're on their way to take David out. They're on their way to report and bring David back and to confiscate and kidnap David from Samuel, from Samuel's care. And they get in a 5-mile radius of the Spirit of God that's on Samuel, and they begin to prophesy. In this next season, when your enemies come near you, they're not going to be doing nothing but prophesying where you going. They came with one motive. They came as a Balaam, but God turned that word around and said, whom I bless is who is blessed. And you cannot curse what God has blessed. And when they saw the group of prophets prophesying and Samuel staying as leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when Saul was told, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. Then Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. The Spirit of the Lord on you is going to begin to jump your enemies. Oh, God. So he asked and said, oh, God, where are Samuel and David? He was looking for them. It says down here in verse 23. So he went to Naoth and Ramah. Then the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth and Ramah. This is how out of his mind the Spirit of God put Saul on Front Street. And he also stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and laid down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Could you imagine that? A prophetic diversion. My God. The Lord is creating a prophetic diversion concerning your enemies. He's diverting them off of your track. And when they come near you, they're going to be exposed to who they really are. And they're still going to have to prophesy what God said. Lastly, if you will go with me to the book of John. Jesus was trying to show us a pattern. But you can't operate or do the things that God would have you to do without catching the spirit of that thing. It says here in John chapter 20, verse 22. And it says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. 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 The Spirit of God has a work for you to do. And it's going to be more than what you think you're capable of. But God says, am I a man that I should lie? Neither the Son of Man that I should repent. I spoke it, I'll make it good. And there's some things God's making good concerning you. Father God, I thank you, God, that you're allowing your Spirit to not just dwell with us and not just rest upon us, but Father God, you are imparting your Spirit in us, that when people see us, they see an Almighty God coming. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that Satan is bound. We thank you that demons have no authority, place, power, or rank in our lives. We denounce Satan and all of his works. And God, yes, God, let your Spirit reign in your people like never before. God, send the rain. It's dry in the religious church. Send the rain to your remnant. Send your rain to your people. Send your rain, God, to the crops, God. Send your rain to your prophets and prophesy a fresh word, an on-time word that comes not just to pass, but, Father God, that stays. Father, I give you glory. I give you honor and praise for what you're doing. And, God, thank you for having way and the right of way in our life with your Spirit. Have your way, God. In this place, not an earthly place, but in this place, oh Lord. this place. Lord, have your way in this place. It's your desire. Lord, have your way in this place. He wants to rest. He wants to rule. He wants to abide with you. Let him do it. God bless you. Until next time, I love you. God bless you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can know, test, and prove what is that good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Good night.